This is Colourful Radio. Colourful Radio.
Colourful Radio with me, Chris Phillips, here on Drive Time. I couldn't be joined by better company here in the studio, as I am now to talk about not only themselves, but Miss Louisa Mark. I am honoured to say I'm joined by three members of the legendary reggae band UB40. And I've got to say, a big Colourful Radio welcome to Duncan, Robin and Astra. How are you doing, guys?
Nothing bad, Chris.
Hi.
Fantastic to have you here. And such a legendary band. I mean, I just broke the news to you, I guess, of Louisa Mark passing. I mean,
yeah.
What does she mean to you, Astra?
Well, I just remember that song on 6th Street from years ago, from when I used to be with the sound system. And, yeah, it was played everywhere.
Yeah. Classic record, isn't it?
Without a doubt.
Good times, weren't they, back then, with, you know, house parties. I mean, there's so many. Music puts you in a place, doesn't it? Really brings back some great memories.
Oh, seriously, yeah.
And you guys got together famously in the Birmingham area. Check the accents, of course. for those of you that don't know, UB40, it's a name that's forged from, I mean, in the current context of in today's environment with the credit crunch and unemployment, it's so relevant still, isn't it?
Yep, UB40. Our membership's growing again.
Yes, it is. It must be. UB40, if you don't know, it was a form. I don't even know if it's still a form.
Yeah, it is.
It is still a form that I thought the government might have changed it in honour of you, but UB40 is a form that you used to have to fill in way back in the day, and I did, I think, just after I left school, to claim unemployment benefit. And it kind of said everything about the social context of the getting together of your band and what you stand for, right?
Yeah, I mean, we were together already. We were a gang of mates from school. Obviously,
yeah.
Some of us were brothers. Excuse me. But it was, we were all unemployed when we formed the band, and it just seemed like a really obvious name to give the band. You know, it turned out to be a stroke of marketing genius, but,
yeah.
But you know, we weren't aware of it at the time, but we did discover we had like a 3 million fan club, you know.
It's card carrying, isn't it? Because it's actually the name. It's the name of the form you carry with you when you sign unemployment benefit 40. Yeah,
yeah.
So it's the one you're carrying around with you all the time. So they're card carrying members.
It certainly created a lot of interest at the beginning.
Yeah. Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, conversely, you guys are now what, something like 70-odd million albums deep or records deep, and that's just absolutely tremendous.
30 years of a career. Yeah,
31 years, isn't it? You've been together now or something like that. 19. When did you get together?
78, yeah. 31 as a band, 30 as a recording band.
And you're still together. Although, I must say, Ali Campbell, of course, is a famous voice that fronted the band. He's no longer with you guys, is that right?
No, he left about 20 months ago.
Right.
But it's business as usual. Duncan's still.
Of course, yeah. And you're on an amazing UK tour, which takes you all the way up to Christmas. And almost fittingly, around about Christmas-ish time, you end up at the Birmingham LG Arena. An amazing tour. You still have plenty of hunger for performing live, I take it.
Yeah, well, it's what we do. And after you've finished a record, you know, the last piece is to go out and play your latest offering. And you can only do that by performing, so...
And you know, I say Ali's left the band, and you've got new members and new guests now. Tell me about some of the people that you'll be taking on tour with you, special guests, surprises.
Eddie Grant, he'll be supporting us, and can't wait for that, because like he's got colossal selection of records, you know what I mean? The singles that he...
it'll be a party. It'll be a party.
I can't wait.
We don't have any guest vocalists or anything like that.
Yeah.
We've got Duncan, my other younger brother, who's taken over as lead vocalist. And it'll be, you know, business as usual.
And there can't be many places in the world that don't know about UB40, including America, where you've been very successful with a number one hit.
We don't let them forget, you know.
Yeah.
We keep coming back. Yeah.
Which one of you guys decided to do Neil Diamond's Red, Red Wine back in the day? Another stroke of genius. It was yours, was it?
I did, yeah. All right. We didn't have any idea that it was a Neil Diamond song.
No, really?
We knew it as a Tony Tribe song.
Yeah,
you know? And the R&B, Jimmy James and the Vagabonds did a version of it as well. But, I mean, we were covering the Tony Tribe song. We had absolutely no idea until we'd recorded it, and we're looking for publishing reasons. We're searching out the original authors, and on the record it actually said N. Diamond, and we were... It must
Neville.
Be
Negus,
Negus Diamond. Hadn't got a clue until, you know, afterwards.
Do you think that would have made a difference to you actually doing the song if you'd have known it was a Neil Diamond song?
Quite possibly.
Yeah.
But it's a great song, you know, and I have actually been told by an American journalist, a guy that works for Rolling Stone, that Neil Diamond didn't actually write it. He bought it in the 60s, and it's actually from the 1800s.
No.
It's an old temperance song. Yeah.
No way.
It's true. It's an anti-drinking song, yeah, that he bought in the 60s and recorded. And the rest is history.
That's pretty fantastic. It's Black History Month, and we've got UB40 in, and we were talking earlier on about Louisa Mark. Did you guys ever encounter Louisa on your travels or hook up with her at any shebeens or shows or anything like that? I mean,
no, well, because us being in Birmingham,
yeah.
She's a London girl.
Yeah, well, so. Yeah, but, you know, come on, man. There's the scenes are closely connected.
At the same time, I mean, like, you know, when we're out on the road, it's usually touring season, and so it's like we miss a lot of shows that come to Birmingham just because they come while we're out on the road because, that's the time that everybody's touring, and so we constantly miss our favourite artists that we want to see.
Dare I talk about Birmingham football teams and the divisions that may be between your band? I mean,
only if you really must.
I must do. I'm always interested when I talk to a Brummy about their allegiances with football. I mean, maybe even not even in Birmingham. Maybe, you know, one of you might be a Wolves fan or something like that. But,
No.
We're all proper Brummies.
We're all Birmingham City supporters. Apart from Brian the saxophonist, he's a Villa supporter.
Do you give him a hard time?
Whenever humanly possible, yes.
Yeah.
It is difficult, though.
Do you guys get along to any of the games?
They do very well, don't they?
I know, they're flying high at the moment.
They did well at the weekend, for sure. Yeah. Don't speak to our station manager, Gordon, because he's a Chelsea fan. He's very unhappy about Aston Villa doing quite well. Do you get along to games and stuff between all of you?
I do. Whenever I get the
opportunity. Do they ever wheel you in and say, you know, your Brummy legends, come and, you know, come on the pitch and
well, I did walk the team out with my son when it was the local derby between Birmingham City versus West Bromwich Albion.
Yeah. Which is the heaviest derby? I mean, which is the one with the most passion, is it?
Villa Brom.
Villa Brom always,
yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, we're going to talk about your new album, which is A Labour of Love, Volume 4, is it?
Yeah.
You know, play on words there, A Labour of Love. I love that. And there's a DVD that goes with it. But you've got a new single as well, which I've got lined up here. Tell me about this.
Well, that's the only one that's not actually a cover of a reggae tune of the whole thing. It's from... the original was Sam Cooke and Lou Rawls, 1961, I think, you know, so it's a very old original tune, but it's another song we grew up on, you know, part of our musical heritage and a song we love, you know.
All right, this is the new single. What's it called?
Bring It On Home.
Colourful Radio Drive Time. We're playing the new single from UB40. Is that out there yet, guys, or is that a little exclusive you've given us?
That's absolutely an exclusive.
Oh, look at that.
First time on radio.
Is it really?
Yeah.
That's fantastic. That's truly honourable for us to say thank you very much for bringing that in today. Fantastic cover version. And reggae music, man, I mean, it's just a universal language, isn't it? I mean, I'll talk to you guys over here. We've got Duncan Astro and Robin from UB40 in here. We've been chatting about reggae stars lost and reggae present. We'll talk about their new album and tour and stuff again. Reggae music, a universal language. What is it that's so powerful about this music, man?
Oh, it's hard to put into words, I don't know, but it works the world over.
You know, it's
from when we started, that was our mission, was to take reggae to the world, you know, and we've been to virtually every... I think the only place we haven't been is China, you know, but everywhere else from...
It's stunning, though, isn't it?
From the North Pole to the South Pacific.
From Senegal to Brazil.
People just love their reggae everywhere you go, man.
I mean, Brazil is a real hotbed for reggae, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
They love it down there, man.
Yeah, well, the whole of South America, the whole reggaeton thing, you know, the mix of the reggae rhythms and South American rhythms, you know, it's massive down there.
And the reggae audiences, do you find you're building new audiences as well? I mean, melody as such is just going to go on forever. It's part of the human spirit, isn't it? And you can take dancehall into consideration and say, okay, that's a bit of fun, like hip-hop. But melody lives on, doesn't it? And that's what you guys are all about.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, well, it's all about the song, isn't it? I'm
Well, it's marrying a great tune with a wicked drum and bass, you know, and that's like the formula that works the world over. A great melody and something to dance to, you know, and as long as it gets hips swinging, you know, it seems to work everywhere. And every island you go to, it doesn't matter what the race of people are, every island seems to love reggae.
Yeah, they've adopted it as their music, haven't they?
Yeah. And there's wherever you go now, that's the difference for us, is that wherever you go, there's a reggae band, whether it's... Japan or Africa, Australia, New Zealand, you know, they've all got their own reggae now, which is amazing.
And it does sound kind of cliched in today's environment, but you were the first kind of universally racially integrated band that played reggae, I guess, especially in my lifetime anyway. You guys have been the soundtrack, a part of the soundtrack of my life for so long now. A very good friend of mine, David Rodigan, a reggae DJ, has been around. And as you know, he's a white guy. Yeah, you know him well. He's a very good friend
Rodigan.
Of mine. And he's been one of the main protagonists of reggae. But in Jamaica, he's a bit like folklore, you know. He told me a story about once going into a little shack in a parish somewhere in the back of Jamaica, and guy just stared at him like, you know, beady eyed, and then kept looking at this picture behind him, and Rodigan realized when he looked that there was a picture of Rodigan there on the wall, and it was like Jesus had, say it's biblical, it was like Jesus had walked into his place. But they universally accept Rodigan as a white guy, you know, as a kind of force in reggae. I mean,
almost definitely. Well, his knowledge of reggae music is second to none.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I actually went to see David Rodigan perform in Birmingham only about 3 months ago up at the Elbow Room.
He was playing
there. Place was just packed solid. I mean, where he played, I've never seen that many people in one place.
And it's a performance, isn't it, when he plays?
It is, because he does...
which is key to the whole thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah, because he's educating people at the same time. He's giving them direct facts about when certain things happen, which producers...
Yeah.
And which studios?
And he's encyclopedic, isn't he?
He knows
everything and everybody.
He's amazing. He's.
And for Duncan and Robin, do you guys have like an encyclopedic knowledge of reggae music? And do you get the appreciation back from the fans, especially, you know, in Jamaica, for example? You played there and got some love from them over there.
Well, people forever saying to me, I was in Jamaica on my holidays last week. All I heard was UB40 everywhere, you know.
And Jim Reeves.
And Jim Reeves and Neil Diamond and Elvis Presley, but it's they love what we've done for reggae. I think you know, they just love what we've done for their music. You know, the fact that we've taken it around the world, and I think they know that we love the music, and that makes all the difference. You know,
yeah. And quite a stacked tour for guys that, you know, you got to be physically fit to keep up with all this, man, I tell you. From 21st of November all the way through to the 21st of December, taking in Glasgow, Newcastle, Sheffield, Manchester, Liverpool, Bournemouth, Brighton. In London, by the way, for colourful listeners, on the 12th of December.
At the O2.
At the O2.
Yeah.
Is that the O2 or part of the actual O2 arena?
Of course. Yeah.
Of course. None of that sideshow business at the Indigo Tour.
No.
Plymouth, Nottingham, Cardiff, and of course, obviously, back in Brum for the 21st. And then what happens after that? You planning another tour? Are there more dates internationally?
That's what we do, you know. Yeah. As soon as we finish a record, we go out and take it to the world if we can, you know.
Yeah.
And we'll be touring for the whole of the rest of next year.
And Labour of Love 4, what's on there, the DVD? What you got packed on there? Because now, of course, today's environment of multimedia, you've got video, music, all sorts of stuff going on multi-platforms. What you got?
Well, there'll be all the promo videos from Labour of Love 1, all the promo videos from Labour of Love 2.
But that's on the best of, not on Labour
of
Love 4. We don't have any DVD material yet for Labour of Love 4.
But
we've got the best of coming out in November for Christmas, you know, which is basically all the singles off the first three, plus a couple of tracks off Labour of Love 4 as teasers for what's coming on the new album. And that's got loads of DVD material. There's a special edition with, you know, all the promo videos and the film Labour of Love that we did in the 80s and stuff. But... I don't think we've got any video stuff yet. We'll be filming that as soon as we get off the tour.
I want to rap with Red Red Wine, but I'm not going to do that because I'm sure you guys have heard that song so many times.
Please.
We've all heard it so many times in our lives, haven't we? Red Red Wine. I'm going to play something else instead. But let's talk about that song, Red Red Wine. I mean, it's so universal now. It's transcended into that kind of... weddings, bar mitzvahs, even funeral type scenario. Have you ever been in a wedding with loads of drunken people and seen how they get together and start singing that song?
Yep. Absolutely. Karaoke as well, you know, it doesn't matter what pub you go into. Somebody gets up and sings it when you're there. That Kingston Town, Many Rivers to Cross is one of the most popular for funerals, you know.
Of course, it's like a spiritual, isn't it?
It's pretty incredible, really, that, you know, your music can do that over the decades.
Well, let's go around. Astro, what's your favourite hit, UB40 hit? What's your favourite song? What one do you really look forward to when you look down on the stage, you see that set list? I can't wait to get into that one. Excuse me.
The
helicopter going over. Security.
Well, your favourites kind of change from week to week, month to month, and every time you bring out a new album, you get a new favourite. So I can't really, I couldn't really tell you what my favourite UB40.
It's a bit like saying, what's your favourite Marvin Gaye song, isn't it?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, fair
Wherever
enough.
I Lay My Hat would be my favourite Marvin Gaye. But that's only of the moment. You know, next week it'll be Too Busy Thinking About My Baby or whatever, you know. And it's the same with our own stuff. We've recorded, God knows, 300 tunes or something, so it's hard to have one. And it does, it changes from week to week. Usually it's whatever the latest thing is you've done, you know.
Let's ask you briefly, just to finish, about your feelings on today's society compared to when you guys got together. I mean, have we made an improvement socially? UB40 still stands for something. There's more unemployment coming. We're in a difficult situation again. Are you politicised in any way? And, you know, do you lend your support to any organisation to try and champion better social equality as such? Yeah. Or do you just translate what you feel through music?
Well, we've always done that. We haven't changed. The world hasn't changed. No. You know, everything's back to how it was when we started out. 1 in 10 is just as relevant now as it was then, you know. The unemployment figures are the same. We're in the middle of a massive depression, you know. Everything's crap again, isn't it? And that's the way it goes, you know.
Everything's, it's just like life, everything's cyclical. In a circle.
Which just goes to show you there's not much point in singing about it because it doesn't change anything, you know.
Yeah, but thank God that you do, though, really.
All the time, and nothing's different.
It's a healing process listening to you guys singing,
which is why, and because nothing changes, we're still singing about the same
stuff. We're still ranting on about the same stuff.
Yeah, we're just trying to wrap it up in a different package, but we're still saying exactly the same as what we were saying back in the 80s.
The only good thing is that our card-carrying membership is rising again.
Yeah, it's rising again. Officially. Well, I'm going to finish with Rat in My Kitchen. Tell me about this song.
That was a song that I wrote.
Anti-Thatcher song.
Yeah, it's an anti-Margaret Thatcher song. It was basically the same, that the world is a kitchen where all good things are.
Margaret was
Thatcher,
the rat.
She was the rat.
She was the rat in the kitchen. Yeah.
And you still feel that way, I hope.
Absolutely.
Yeah. UB40, Astro, Duncan and Robin, many, many thanks for passing by. And best of luck with the new album and the tour. We'll keep plugging the tour for you. Thanks for passing by today.
Thank you very much.
This is Colourful Radio.